What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Hollywood Already Did It, your movie podcast for reboots, remakes, sequels, prequels, anything that existed before, and asking, why are we here? Is there anything relevant, or should we have put this down a while ago? As always, I'm your host, Blake Schultz, and with me is Terrence Tatum.
Hello, everyone.
And this week, we are talking about the prequel to The Omen, a franchise that is much longer in the tooth than I realized, between two television shows, one remake, and the original trilogy. But here we are, the prequel to The Omen, the first Omen, which I keep wanting to call The Last Omen because that seems more, I guess it's probably still the last, they're probably both, really.
Yeah.
But we're here. We came out. Man, I don't even know where to start. So Terrence, what did you think of the movie?
It's funny because this has been one that's been on the radar since we've come back around this season, and I was like, I'm not looking forward. I don't care about this movie. And I rewatched The Omen, the OG one. And then I went in and watched this, and I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised how much I enjoyed this movie. It is not hard for me to buy into anything that's like, hey, these religious folks, they crazy, and they gonna do some crazy things to get you to understand their beliefs. You don't have to, it's not a long thread you have to pull for me to be like, I can see how that's feasible. I can see how that could happen. And the fact that this movie has some of the beats of the original, but then does its own sort of thing of saying, hey, this is how we got to that point, is really well done. I like the idea of, like, hey, church is sitting here saying, look, these people don't believe in us anymore, so we need to give them a reason to, so we're going to come up with this demon kid. Sound like a plan? Cool. And I'm like, all right, sweet. And it does so where there's some of the more quiet thriller beats that The Omen has, it's still here, but also puts in a little bit of some of the body horror that you sort of expect to have to kind of keep the audience up to date, but it doesn't overdo it. It's just there sort of like to bridge in the gaps. And I think it's a sort of perfect marriage between what that original Omen did with what horror sort of is today, and combining them to make sort of this perfect sort of soup that actually works way better than I think this has any right to. I also want to say that Nell, the lead actress in this, is fantastic. There's some sequences in there that I was just like, I could just watch her do this forever. Mainly when she's going through her labor situation towards the tail end of the film. I was like, this is terrifying, and she is killing this right now. But yeah, I enjoyed it. And I'll say this before you go. A lot of times with prequels, it's hard for me because sometimes the way that it is shot is so new that it kind of throws me. I'm like, this doesn't feel like this. The way they shot this feels like this could still be what come. Like, I could easily watch The Omen right after this and not feel like I'm being jarred by how new the prequel was. That's a testament to the cinematographer and the way that they directed this, because that stood out to me immediately after I watched like 20 minutes of this. I'm like, oh no, this doesn't, the graininess, something about the way they shot it just feels like, hey, I could watch these two together and not feel like I'm seeing something completely out of place.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny because I often have prequel problems to anything where I'm usually just like, yeah, we're going to go on this little journey and the ending's going to be whatever, because it has to eventually be The Omen. Damien has to show up. Everyone here is going to lose, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one was different because even the opening of, oh, we did this thing, I wish we hadn't, and I want it to be over. And the priest being like, well, I didn't absolve you. Oh, I don't want to be forgiven. I just want it to end.
Yeah.
Was such a unique thing, especially in the context of a religious story, to have someone who just doesn't even care about, I don't want to be absolved. I don't want to be forgiven. I want what's coming to me because I broke it. Mm-hmm. So I'm out. That was great. The pacing was great. A lot of deliberate directing choices that I think you spoke to. And it was like the first time in a while where I really was like, this is what a well-directed
mm-hmm.
movie looks like, where you're exploring the frame. We do a lot of weird mirror shots. It looks like she's talking to her roommate, and then we dolly back and she's behind her. every time she hangs up her habit behind her, there's this like omnipresence. Like it almost looks like a shadow or a demon, and it's always in the frame over her shoulder. And it's such like deliberate choices of setups. My favorite was when she's praying and it like pulls back and the candles almost look like teeth. And then the more we pull back, there's like some stuff that kind of looks like eyes and a face and she's just in it. And just that kind of stuff that you don't see a lot anymore. And when you do, it's so overt.
Yeah.
Like I think of Halloween Ends that was so like, oh, well, he's died and he's an upside down cross and he's been stuck in this Easter-esque, like, oh, he's got to get out of his cave. And it's like, this is a little
on the nose.
And all you're really doing is inverting a story.
Mm-hmm.
This is more going in a traditional horror sense, what's safe? It should be religion. It should be church. It should be an orphanage. And basically going, this is the most unsafe place that you could ever be.
And everybody's in on it.
And
we
explore so many ideas. Like even when she comes in is like, well, I'm going to take my vows, but I'm going to have this body under a habit forever. So like, let's go have some
let's
fun.
Let's go get party. Let's go. Yeah. Like it's funny because that scene feels like it could be just a throwaway. Like, why the heck are we doing this? And then it all sort of ties back in like, oh, everybody's in on this plan. Like she's getting her day off, but then they are watching her to be like, you need to get drunk enough so that we can put a kid in you.
So that we can
hit this seance going. I was like, oh, that's smart. That's really smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. And even just playing with the idea of it's the 70s and like secularism is not only on the rise, but they're pushing back. It's not just, hey, there's people who don't believe or they don't believe the way you want them to believe. It is more of a like, this thing's in power and it's bad.
Yeah.
So for her to even have these moments of like, well, I can't do it like this and I shouldn't be living this way and I can't be breaking out, to take her as the like vessel of the Antichrist and spend the entire movie being like, she's actually trying her best to do this by the book. And the cards are just not in her favor.
Correct.
It doesn't matter what she does was wild. And then, yeah, you have the fun throwbacks. We have the all for you moment. We have like the extreme priests and kind of this underlying idea of, well, there's people who are doing it right. And then there's people who are bastardizing it and the world is changing and they've got this crazy scheme and we're going to do it this way. And then, yeah, the body horror stuff was so almost at times I was like, I could go. I don't need to watch the claw come out of the, I'm good. I don't want to play
that
anymore
one,
in
that
this sandbox.
I was like, okay, oh, geez. Because I mean, obviously we don't have any birth stuff in the last one, but in the original, but I'm just like, oh God, this is, I get it. I get it, guys. You don't need to show me even. It's funny because originally they just show you like a passing cut of it. I'm like, cool, that's all I need. And they're like, no. We're not done there. You're gonna see this bad boy come on. I was like, oh God, please, what is happening?
Yeah, and it kept that tonality of the original where it's so deliberately paced, but it has your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good example. I think we talked about it last week or the week before of, you know, everyone's always like, well, the attention spans of the millennials and of Gen Z and of Gen Alpha. And it's like, yeah, we've been singing that song since the silent generation got audio and thought they couldn't pay attention anymore. We've been doing that for a long time. There's a difference between a short attention span, you need explosions, and a short attention span, your movie's boring. Mm-hmm. And you can have a Lord of the Rings, a Titanic, an Omen, the first Omen, The Exorcist, The Shining. There's so many examples of like, well, it's slow, but everyone's focused because we're very invested in some of these, like what's going on and who is this girl and what is the bad room? And like, why does everything feel off?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why does everything feel just a little distorted? Which I think they did a great job with. All the performances were good. I think my only complaint was how far ahead of the movie I was. Where almost right away I was like, oh, well, that's Damien's mom. And they were like, well, it might be this crazy girl. And I was like, yeah, yeah, that's cute. But like, it's 110% this person.
It never helped. I love him so much, but it never helped when I see Bill Nighy. I'm like, oh, he's in on everything. Like, I'm like, he's the lead bad guy in this. Like, that's, I don't trust him. Like, that's more of an act. I know that actor, and I'm like, he's going to turn. Like, something is wrong. This is not going to go well.
And they do give you good breadcrumbs. Like, even in the beginning, the whole, like, well, you know, maybe you'll help us bring them all back to the flock. Because, you know,
right.
We're going to put a demon inside of you.
It's like, we're going to put a demon in you.
Maybe two. yeah, all of that context, too, when we talk about, like, well, why are we doing this story again? Especially prequels. I think prequels are so much harder than remakes, reboots, mm-hmm. sequels, recalls, right. anything else. To go back and add context to a story you know almost always either hurts the original.
Right.
You make a choice that now you're like, well, now hold on. Then what is this? And how did the, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This in such a weird way, because The Omen was so much about like what's happening around Damien and this like Correct. Child who doesn't really realize what or who he is and just kind of that environment, that to go back and be like, well, actually, this whole thing is a plan. Isn't that insane?
We did this on purpose. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we created him on purpose. We're nuts, right? yeah.
It adds such a weird agency to the movie to see them almost do this like Dune 2 sisters, yeah. like, well, we're going to put him here and this kid's going to die. So we're going to put Damien in with this family and he's going to yeah. inherit this power and don't worry about everything else.
That's such a smart thing. Cause like the Omen, it's essentially a family. We're just spend most of that time with a family, but they're affluent. And so like for them in this one to be like, yeah, we're going to put them with these rich folks so that when they all die, not only is he going to be the devil, he's going to be rich too. Like this, he's going to get away with do with whatever we want. I'm like, you guys are devious.
Yeah.
To the point where you guys are putting something so crazy on the other side that if you want people to come back to faith, you may have pushed them too far.
Well, that's, you know, they don't get into it, but in the, in some scriptures, it is like the Antichrist shows up and then Jesus comes back. So it is a very weird, like, okay, so if they bring about the apocalypse, technically, but like, there's no way, like, then you get real like fantasy-ish about it where it's like, yeah. well, Jesus is going to show up and be like, okay, I get what y'all were doing, but like, no.
He swung the pendulum way too far.
I guess we should have added an 11th commandment there of like, don't do this.
Don't
do a bunch of incest until you have a demon. That's just yeah, it's pretty interesting. In a year two where we've had so many like whatever horror movies, to have something where I just got up and was like, well, I feel uncomfortable and strange. Ooh, a lot of... Yeah. Y'all were really playing with it. We did this in the Holy Week. This is all very,
right after Easter week. This is okay. This is a choice.
Yeah, I was like, man, y'all knew. Oof. there's Disney's attached to this. This is a whole thing going down. Yeah, I think it's a great way to add weight to a franchise. And when we talk about the like the why and the how and does it work, to sort of go in and add so much. Oh, it's not an accident. It's intentional. And not only is it intentional, but it's not even like the Satanists who are doing it. It's these extremists in the church. Because don't you see what's happening? And when you look at like today, even like, you know, church going is getting lower and lower.
Yeah.
By the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't sound that out of pocket for it some... Doesn't. Insane person to have some insane thing because it's also such a fun theme to play with, especially in a horror movie of like, well, to believe in something, you need to be afraid because mm-hmm. so often when we play with faith, belief, God, religion in any movie, in any context, it's either the like the Good Place and the has-been hotels of like, well, how do you even get into heaven? It's impossible. So why can't I be redeamed after death? Why can't I figure out a way out? Like you've set the stack so high against me. Or it's in like the, you know, Rise of the Titans and faith-based films where it's like, no, the love will do it and the coming together. And eventually you'll see because you're hurt, but you'll heal. And like, God is with you, to flip that coin and be like, for people to believe in this, they need to be afraid.
Yeah.
And it kind of in a, like a really shitty way tracks, because you even
I mean, it does. I feel like most,
you see it across our politics and everything, yeah, where it's like, to get somebody on your team, for you to sell somebody something, they either need to be scared or they need to need something.
They need to be at their poorest, their weakest, and their least amount of belief. Like, they need to feel like they're worse, so that when you offer them this dangling piece of hope, they'll cling on to it. You got them hooked for life. So when they put that in there, I was like, oh, that's smart, because that tracks. Like, that's a smart way to play this.
And it's fun to have her and the exiled priest and the other people who are with her to kind of have the, like, yeah, we're not going to paint the whole church as evil, because, like, that would be crazy.
That's not right.
This is just a section of it
that
you're in, and they have this scheme, and it's not great. But to even kind of have her as this, not even just like a secular person who's like, hey, I'm not a bad person, but I don't do it the way you do it, but I'm good. To have someone who is so on their team that she's like, yeah, I can't wear a shirt where my like cleavage is out, is such a great juxtaposition to be like, you've got the mark. At some of these moments, the guy walking away from her and like looked forward and hit by the car, and some of the jump scares even were just so good.
It's a well-crafted film.
To even go back and play with like the mental health of it all, because there's so much history of exorcisms, A, sort of being targeted to women incorrectly, and B, people being like, my son has anxiety, is it possible there's a demon? And the church be like, well, let's do an exorcism. That makes sense.
It's also a really, I mean, it's in there too, but like, the difference between having a boy and a girl. Like, yeah, we've crafted off all these girls, and these, that's useless. These women aren't hellspawns. They're just here. Give us a guy. Like, that's what we want. We want a boy child.
Yeah, we need, this is how it needs to be.
Right.
Which is interesting. I don't remember in The Omen or the sequels or shows, the mother, the biological mother, living with a sister and daughter.
I don't either.
That's an addition. Like, I think that's an addition piece
because
we gotta make sequels.
When we join in the Omen, we just see Damien getting dropped off. Like, we don't see anything else. The mom is believed to have been dead, is what they tell us, which still tracks with what they gave us in the story. They want her to believe to be dead. I do think that the later Omens, there is a girl, and I don't know if they're trying to say that this girl is who that person becomes. I'm not sure. But I do know that later, too, dude, there's a girl who sort of is the Omen. One of the spinoffs of the girl Omen.
Yeah, I do think, oh, here's, Google answers it right away. This is a new reveal for the franchise. So this is their addition.
Okay.
This is the, because I mean, yeah, that has a lot of implications. If there's a daughter and she has a sister and the mother's alive, like, there's a lot you could now do. It gets a little superhero-y of like, well, now we're going to have this daughter and she's going to fight Damien.
The Luke and Leia.
So it's like, I don't know if like you do a horror movie now of like The Last Omen, The Next Omen, the blah, 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 blah. I don't know if the implication, you know, I don't know my Christian theology well enough to know that if you create the Antichrist through incest to get a kid and you get a daughter, does that mean the daughter is holy? I don't know the vibe.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's in any of the books. I don't believe, I'm pretty sure it's been a minute, but I'm like 85% sure that there's no like, hey, if the church ever goes crazy and they like through a series of incest and failed children, and they, you know, have the mark of the beast on them, if one happens to have a daughter, then that's something else.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know if that one made it down the mountain. But it's a fun thing to keep going with, because I mean, there's a lot of parallels to the 70s and now with how people are, and You know, you go through, like, we haven't done kind of a modern Omen. Like, we did the original and we did that. We did Damien in 2016, but like to do one. I mean, I hate like a COVID movie, but a part of me is like, what a fun idea of like, we've got the Antichrist and there was just a plague. You could really start having some fun in that world. And you know, this was good enough. This was good and fucked up and scary. And I am now like, sure, I'm in. Let's go. I really was waiting to walk out of this and be like, what are we doing?
I want
here?
To hate this movie. I want to be like, we don't need this.
It's so hard to attack a classic, especially a classic horror movie.
Yeah.
And nail it. The Exorcist didn't. This is truly the Ja Rule to 50 Cent, and The Last Exorcist is everything it wants to be. I can't think of many examples outside of the 2018 Halloween that did not stick the landing, or like the Scream requel, where I'm like, yeah, great, we did it. Maybe Dawn of the Dead's remake, but that wasn't a prequel that kept going.
Right, it was like more of the same. Hills Have Eyes is a remake too. So yeah, it's hard to add on to something that's so beloved. Like it's clear that there was a lot of care done for this. They cared about The Omen, and then they added enough to where it feels like its own pocket. But it's so smartly done that it adds on a really nice piece to it. It sucks it's not doing well at the box office. I think a part of that is because it's coming on the tails. Immaculate and this, as far as posters and trailers, aren't that far apart. They feel like they're really almost the same. And I think Immaculate did decent. But between Kong coming and then people kind of splitting between Immaculate and this, I think that sort of might be a bit of the issue why the... But also, I think the last couple of rounds of The Omen have not been...
It's an old franchise, and the most recent ones were a pretty whatever remake and TV shows.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we talked about it off the microphone when we were like, I think Ghostbusters isn't going to stay, but that's stuck around in its third week, too. You got a lot going on. But
yeah.
Oh, yeah, there were three. The Omen, 2, 3, 4. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've been in it for a minute. But, you know, these horror movies, they don't need to make that much.
No. It didn't cost. Yeah, it's below expectations, but it only costs like $3 billion to make. So, like, they're already
red. Hollywood money is weird. The ones that are too expensive don't make enough money, even though they make $1 billion. And the ones that are like, whoa, did it make any money? Are like, it had a net worth of enough to feed everyone. So yeah, I don't know, but I would like to get more. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I did too.
And I think that's our show. I think that's it. What's next week? Is there something next week?
I don't think so.
I think it's a break. So we will see everybody next time. Leave a review, share the show, leave a comment on YouTube. Terrence runs the YouTube channel with our TV shows and trailer reactions and everything else. And I'm at always, as always, Blake. Terrence is at Terrence Tatum. The show is at Hollywood ADI, and we will be back next time.
Later.